We rise. Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name, who is the light of the world, who reveals the works of God to us and in us, dear fellow redeemed. We turn to a prophecy of Isaiah chapter 42 today, and we remember, as always with Scripture, there's a larger context. There's a larger context in the words of Isaiah. Isaiah's words are filled with both judgment and deliverance, as if in the same breath, God addresses a people who are deaf and blind, alerting them to where this is headed. And yet at the same time, he brings comfort and consolation to all who hear. We turn to Isaiah 42. I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and gasp at once. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will make the rivers coastlands and I will dry up the pools. I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed who trust in carved images, who say to the molded images, you are gods. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as he who is perfect and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but you do not observe. Opening the ears, but he does not hear. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will exalt the law and make it honorable. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We pray. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. For Mike, the problem was pride. I worked with Mike delivering appliances for 3 years while I was in college, and Mike was the type of person who didn't like to be wrong. You see, Mike was the best at everything growing up. He was the best pool player, he was the best golfer, he was the best mechanic, and he many times had all the answers. But as he got older, this would change. You see, Mike developed a degenerate eye disease, and by the time he reached the age of 50, when I met him and started working with him, he was legally blind. He couldn't do the things he once did. It was amazing that he could still deliver appliances. You see, he could see peripheral out of the sides of his eyes, but he couldn't see what was right in front of him, so he could see just enough to get by, and he was still the best appliance repairman I had ever met. There was a problem, though, and it wasn't just working on appliances. Mike didn't like to ask for help. He didn't like to ask for help or be told he was wrong, and this was especially true when it came to religion. In conversations about Christianity, Mike said it was foolish. He said Christianity was a crutch. It was for the weak-minded, for people that couldn't deal with their own problems. And Mike had a brilliant mind. He was probably one of the smartest people I ever met. Yet when it came to this question, when it came to the need for God's rescue, he was more blind than ever. For Mike, it was a problem of pride, and it was a refusal to admit the need for God's help. This morning, we consider three types of blind people. We firstly have the type of person who is blind, who needs help, but refuses to admit it. He's helpless, that is, he is unhelpable, if that's a word. And secondly, we have the person who is blind and hopeless, the type of person who needs help, Who even recognizes the need for help and yet thinks there's nobody in the world who can help him? He's blind and hopeless. And then finally, we consider the type of person who needs help, who recognizes it, who sees no way out, and yet suddenly there's an intervention. Someone intervenes to rescue him and show him a way he never thought possible. And he is filled then with help and hope. This morning we consider how the Lord rescues us out of a hopeless situation. Israel was a nation in need of help. They are surrounded by forces much stronger than they. The Babylonian armies, under the great empire of Nebuchadnezzar, have invaded the northern area of the Assyrians, conquered that great and mighty people, and now God is turning them on Israel, on Judah, on his own people. And yet, all the while, there's something even more pressing, another force at work. It's a spiritual sickness that has invaded the people. The Lord is calling, waiting and waiting. Isaiah keeps preaching, and they do not hear. They do not see the works of the Lord. They're a nation in need of rescue. When his people are in distress, the Lord is in distress. When they are stricken, he is stricken. You see, he's a jealous God. And that means this is his people, his children, his redeemed, those who he calls his own, who aren't listening, who aren't seeing. He says, I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and gasp at once. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will make the rivers coastlands and I will dry up the pools. Like a woman in the heat of labor, the Lord can restrain himself no longer. In pain, he cries out. In distress, he takes action. What will it take? 70 years in exile, a city laid waste and ruined, the sending of his own son. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Sadly, many will not hear, many will not see. The rescue happens right in front of their eyes and they don't see it. They see only the peripheral. They see what's going on in other people's lives, on the edges, on the outskirts, and yet they can't see what's happening right in front of them. A man born blind from birth can see. But what do they see? In John chapter 9, what do they see? They say, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. They're only seeing the peripheral. They're caught up in trying to earn God's favor that they miss out on the fact that God's favor is right in front of their face, enacting miracles. A blind man could see. He could see what they were not seeing. And so he says in response, I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where this man is from, yet he has opened my eyes. The Pharisees are blind and helpless. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger? Do you know anyone who needs help and refuses to admit it? Someone who's helpless because they refuse help. Mike is not the only one in need of help. There's a blindness that can invade every one of our lives. Maybe we're afraid of crutches, just like Mike. We're afraid of leaning on something else. We're afraid of losing control. We're afraid of the pain or the fear. What will this uncover? What sort of pain? What anger? What is it going to take away from me? We want to be in control, and so we shut our eyes. We only look at the peripheral. We see what's going on in everyone else's life, what's wrong with everyone else, and we miss out on what's right in front of us. We miss out on the needs for ourselves or the needs of our neighbor that are right in front of us. God is in distress and can remain silent no longer. He cries out that we would hear him and turn to his marvelous work. The next 400 years will be a time of darkness for Israel. The Babylonians are only the beginning of the judgment. Generation upon generation of Jews will be held captive. Not just to the Babylonians, but empire upon empire will take turns in ruling this people all the way down to the Romans, who rule at the time of Jesus. They do not have their own king or their own freedom. Prophets have stopped speaking. The word of the Lord is scarce. Where is the promised king? Many will grow hopeless. They know they're in need of rescue, and yet they see no way out. Another type of person is the type of person that's blind and hopeless. He knows he needs help. He sees the problem, and yet he thinks no one in the world can help him. What is more hopeless than being born blind? You can't see anything from birth. You don't get to remember Abraham's promise by viewing the starry sky. You miss out on seeing a sunset over the glory of the temple in Jerusalem. And you don't even get to see the faces of those who you love. It's darkness. Who do you know that feels stuck? Maybe it's you. It's addiction, it's anxiety, it's depression. It's fear, it's anger, it's bitterness. It's a problem we can never be rid of. It's a trait we think we'll never get over. It's a past that we can never be rid of. There's sins you think can never be forgiven, or there's other people's sins against you that you think you could never forgive. It's kind of a hopeless situation. It's the type of person who knows he needs help but sees no way out. The faithful in Israel could have grown hopeless. There seemed to be no way out. And if they're looking only on the peripheral, they're missing out on what God is about to do right in front of them, as he says in his word. In time, he would reveal it. He would open their eyes to what is happening, and he would rescue them out of a hopeless situation. Israel would never be without help. They would never be without hope. Isaiah's prophecy is filled with words of rescue, promise of God's faithfulness to his word. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will exalt the law. He will make his word to be exalted. Right in the midst of a helpless, hopeless situation, right in the midst of judgment comes one to rescue, one to fill them with help and hope. Verse 16, I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. When it seems there's no way out, the Lord shows you a way out. They remain blind to this way because it can't be seen, it can only be believed. There's a helpless and hopeless that has ever helped and ever hoped. It's the unexpected rescue of the Lord who says, Behold my servant, my chosen one, Isaiah 42:1, the one whom I've chosen to be a light to the Gentiles and to my people Israel. He would come, an unexpected king who would be a servant. His own son, God's own son, would enter into the Lord's judgment. He would bring help and hope for all. So Isaiah writes in 53, He has no beauty. He has no appearance that we should value him because he's despised and rejected. He's a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief. This despised, rejected man is crucified in the midst of judgment, when in the darkest time of all there is rescue. Rather than coming with the glory of kings, with the glory and riches of Babylon, God comes as a servant, one who would suffer in a way we never knew, in paths we never expected. God cries out. He cries out, and his son is crucified for our sins. In his own labor, he cries out in distress, and he can wait no longer. He brings the judgment, and he brings it on his own son. In the midst of his labor, he gives birth. He gives birth to something glorious, a resurrection to eternal life. For in the darkness of that grave, a light would shine in a way we never expected, where God overcomes sin, he overcomes conflict, he overcomes pain, and he shows a new path, a path of peace, a path where forgiveness knows no measure, a way that is yours. When it seems there's no way out, a blind man sees a glimpse of that resurrection to the helpless and the hopeless. It wasn't because that man sinned or his parents sinned, but it was because God was revealing his work of glory. It's to fill the helpless with help and the hopeless with hope. We are that remnant, that last of God's people, hearing his word in the final days, hearing his rescue of his everlasting covenant. It's true. None of us can see a way out. Not of sin or guilt, not of addiction or anxiety or depression or fear or anger or bitterness or problems. We can never see a way out when it's based on our earthly means or our strength or our commitment. God rescues in a way we never could see. In fact, we're blind because it's about faith. It's not that God rid us of our problems. It's that he leads us through them in ways we never expected. It's at a time like this when the word opens our eyes, so we no longer see what's on the peripheral, and we finally can see what's right in front of us. He opens our eyes to what's right in front of us by faith, and it's Christ, the answer, the one who is righteous, who is a king that doesn't lead without service, who comes to serve and suffer with us. And he fills us with help and hope that we might go into the world a mission of God, sent forth in his help and his hope to help others. It's a rescue mission where we are the light of the world. We are Christ in the world, a rescue to those in need, to the helpless, to the hopeless. We come with help and hope. As we read in Ephesians, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. One thing I wished I had said to Mike was, yes, it is a crutch. It is a wheelchair, in fact. Faith is about being helpless, being hopeless. It is the beginning of faith when we're helpless and hopeless that someone intervenes, that someone acts on our behalf and shows us a way we never expected. And he says, these things I will do for them, and I will not forsake them. Amen.